Hello there, this is Bane. When I'm not out on the streets of Gotham hunting the Batman, I find myself listening to Part-Time Fanboy on a regular basis. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at www.parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on the Twitter. Do it now, or I'll have to do something awful to your spine.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com.
This is the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. My name is Christian Horn. I am on the line with my good friend Ian Scheller, and we are here to discuss Jessica Jones Season 2, the Netflix Marvel show. Usually we do these things like in two parts, but for Jessica Jones Season 2, I actually caught a cold like a couple weeks ago. And I was feeling fine by the time we were thinking about recording the first part, but I still had like congestion in my chest. So I couldn't reliably speak like for long periods without like coughing. So I felt like 100%, but I would just be like coughing. The people in my office were not very appreciative of it, I'm sure. But so that's kind of why we're just doing it all in one episode. And this is season two, so why not? Let's just do it in one episode. I'm not trying to neglect Jessica Jones or any of the fine people at the show Jessica Jones, but yeah, I just wasn't feeling up to it last week. So now we're just going to do the whole shebang in one episode, right, Ian?
That's right.
So what are some of your thoughts? Well, you liked the first season, correct?
The first season took me a while to get through, actually.
Oh, really?
I sort of stopped midway through and took a break, and then I'm like, I'm going to finish it, and I was very happy I did. So I did see the entire first season.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed the first season a lot. I thought it was a really good, because this was the follow-up to Daredevil, correct? If I remember correctly, Daredevil first, Jessica Jones season one,
yeah,
and then everything else followed that. And
yes.
I remember being very pleasantly surprised as to how good Jessica Jones season one was. I mean, I don't think I was expecting anything bad, but, you know, mm-hmm. we just didn't know what to expect, especially since Jessica Jones, I think, was a character that I had not really read a lot about in the comics. I ended up picking up the Omnibus, the Alias Omnibus, which her original series was called Alias, written mm-hmm. by Brian Michael Bendis, and I enjoyed that, the Alias Omnibus, very much. But I was very surprised as to how much I enjoyed season one. What were some of your expectations going into season two, Ian?
Well, not really anything except just don't mess it up, Marvel. That's sort of always my mantra going in, especially because we had that snafu, which we're still trying to recover from, known as Iron Fist.
Iron Fist.
And I
Poor
feel
Iron
like
Fist.
It's interesting you bring up, though, the first kind of seasons. There was the Daredevil season, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage. And I felt those three out of the gate were so good. But then we dipped, and it felt like, you know, we've definitely discussed it on this show with Iron Fist, and even with Defenders, a bit of a rush happening. I thought Punisher set such an interesting level and depth of how much they could push the boundaries.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay, this should be interesting. And just sort of as a default, I watch all these shows, and I will watch the new Iron Fist when it comes out. So I don't have any expectations for these shows. I just want to see some cool stuff, and I think I did.
Well, you know, it's funny because I know that for me, I really have loved – I've loved a lot of these shows. I think the sort of – the Luke Cage was probably the first one where I was like, because for me they were kind of like perfection, like the Daredevil season one, season two, Jessica Jones season one. I mean, Jessica Jones season one had this little bit of like a Wile E. Coyote sort of Roadrunner feel to me, where they would keep trying to set up traps for the Purple Man for you know, what's his face, God, I can't remember the villain's name right now off the top of my head.
But David Doctor Who. Tennant.
Yeah, David Tennant, the actor. How can we forget
Kilgrave.
That? Yeah, Kilgrave. I'm such a huge David Tennant fan because of Doctor Who, and I just blanked out on his name. I'm a horrible person. There was a little bit of that, like Wile E. Coyote, Roadrunner sort of thing, where they would keep setting up traps, and he would keep, like, getting out of them or avoiding them, and just leave like carnage in his wake, you know, and for that a little bit. And I just remember I felt like that the last episode of the season was a bit rushed with them sort of like killing him off very quickly. Other than that, I mean, I remember just thinking like Kristen Ritter was just fantastic. Everything in season one, like it kept me engaged. I think Luke Cage was the first series where I was like, what's going on here? And then once we got to Iron Fist, I mean, there are definitely things that I liked about Iron Fist, but it was kind of a grueling watch. So the Defenders kind of recouped that a little bit, and I was wondering if that was because it was 8 episodes. And then, you know, you and I discussed The Punisher at length on this podcast, and
I just
absolutely loved The Punisher. I mean, it took me like 2 or 3 episodes to sort of like, I think once Micro showed up was when I like full on was like, okay, this is awesome. Like we're going somewhere with this. So I definitely have sort of higher expectations with the Marvel shows than I do, say, like, you know, the CW or other stuff that I watch, because there's been such a pedigree of sort of like excellence with a lot of stuff that they've done. So the disappointment is kind of even kind of harder to take when stuff doesn't automatically gel. And I'm not saying that Jessica Jones season two didn't gel for me in the end. But in the beginning, it was a very sort of rough ride for me, where I was like, oh, what is happening here? Are we going into Iron Fist territory? Like, I was very worried.
Really?
In the first half of the season, I was very worried. I mean, this season did not kick in for me up until like episode 6 with the – and spoilers, we're going to spoil stuff. So if you haven't watched it yet, spoilerific. It's a spoilerific show on Part-Time Fanboy. It wasn't until sort of the mother reveal where I was like very much like, okay. And after that episode, then I was like really in. So like halfway up until 6, I felt like there were some real big problems, you know, and I was just like, I was getting kind of fidgety with it.
That's interesting. I thought it was consistently peculiar throughout the entire season, whereas I never really knew where they were going. And I just sort of accepted it as okay, you know what I mean? Because the expectations I have for this are always different than the stuff I'm going when I see, you know, in a theater.
Sure.
And maybe it's because I'm more comfortable. I could watch this really on multiple devices wherever I'm at.
Yeah.
And I just felt that they were doing some interesting things. If I could mention some of the, you know, the familiar aspect, like you mentioned the mother.
Yeah.
Even in the first scene with them, she says something that's very motherly. She almost says like, "You brat," or "You."
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She said, and
you
that
don't
was,
know that she's the mother. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, "Oh, wait a minute, this is interesting." So, and they also this season also deal a lot with addiction, as well. So I was like, okay, you know, it almost seemed like And I don't know if they planned it because they might have been shooting the same time as Punisher. But I feel like because Punisher went so far out there, they were sort of dealing with heavier things. And you know, this season, and Jessica Jones still has the PTSD. She has these, you know, flashbacks. She has, you know, hallucinations. You know, she's drinking to cover up, you know, her feelings about her whole past. So yeah. I just felt like, you know, when we have these big arcs of each character. So I actually had, I guess, an opposite feeling than you maybe, because towards the end, the last few episodes, I felt it all sort of started to unravel for me, and I didn't.
Oh, really?
I wound up not really liking anybody at the end of it.
That's funny.
Because I felt like they sort of gave everyone like a major flaw, or they had, you know, each of these characters does pretty stupid things to each other. Some, you know, yeah. At one point in the season. So that was just a general vibe. Very weird. Very kind of out there, but at the same time, I was very engaged and very entertained, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you see, like for me, the first half of the season was really scattershot. And I really mm-hmm. feel like, and my wife and I were discussing it a little bit, but for me, the first half of the season was kind of like a little bit all over the place. And I feel mm-hmm. like it was doing a little bit too much of like, it was spreading the focus thin on right. some of the other characters. And quite honestly, you know, I would say it on Facebook every once in a while. For me, the show really, 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 really hits its stride when they focus on Kristen Ritter. Like, for me, it's just like, I don't care. I really don't care that much about the other characters, like the secondary characters. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that they're strong. I like the actors and stuff like that. But once the narrative starts to slip away from Kristen Ritter, it's like, I mean, she is such a good actress and she has such a solid presence and her story is so engaging that once you start like sort of like introducing the super in the building and that sort of like romantic angle, and then you've got sort of like, I guess Rachel Taylor is Trish. Yeah.
I can't stand that character.
Yeah. This guy, Aka Darville, who played Malcolm, like,
oh yeah.
I just found, like, once they deviated, like, Malcolm was driving me nuts because I don't think the guy's
oh, really?
A bad actor. I don't think, but his story of, like, I really just want to be a PI like you. I want to prove myself to you. And it just, like, in the first half of the season, it was really uninteresting. And it was a character that to me was very much, like, kind of like treading water. And I'm like, dude, stop being such a wuss. Like, at some point, like, haha, I get it. Like, the first two or three episodes, you get fired and you come back. You get fired and you come back. But after, like 4-5 episodes of that, it's just repetitive and it makes the characters sort of like spineless, and I just stop caring. And then as far as like I guess the actress's name is Rachel Taylor, and not to bash Trish or anything, because I actually really loved her in season one, but I'm wondering if I loved her so much because they didn't put so much of the focus on her. And in this season, there was a lot of her in the end. And
we know why. Matt, at the end, you sort of know why.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, is they're developing her into something. But the thing is like, I couldn't tell, like, ugh, it's just so hard for me because, like, there's a part of me that's like, man, there was some acting. Like, Amy was watching the show and she looked at it at one point and she goes, wow, she's really bad. And I was like, oh, no. And then sort of as she sort of falls more into the addiction, and I don't know if it's the direction or the actress, but I was just like, wow, you are pushing it. There was like no subtlety in her performance. She's got like the wide eyes and she's like looking around, like shaking her head like crazy, you know, and I just was not buying like her addiction storyline. You know what I mean? I just wasn't buying it, and I wasn't really interested in that actress. I think she's much better suited towards like sort of a sidekick kind of role. Mm-hmm. I mean, I almost put her on the depth of the guy who's playing like Danny Rand, you know what I mean, in Iron Fist, like to the point where I was just like, she almost became annoying. And then once the mother reveal happened, and that's when the show like full blast just started focusing much more on Jessica. and those secondary characters became secondary again. And I was like, okay, now we're getting into focus again. Like,
I see.
And we're going someplace. Like, and that's the thing is there's nobody more than me that really wanted to see, you know, Trish become Hellcat. You know, I mean, I was like from the beginning from, cause you know, that's who she's kind of set out to become. Like, I was like, oh, are they going to give us Hellcat? Are they going to give us Hellcat? But I just don't know if it was the direction or the actress, but she was just like, when she was going through her stuff, I was just not buying it. And I found it to be kind of grating. And I'm just wondering if that was done sort of on purpose, because she became a very unlikable and just not necessarily compelling character to me.
I think she ultimately became the villain, but I think they hinted at it in the first season where there was something always between her and Jessica Jones, and I think they finally show it in season two where it's like she wants Jessica's powers.
Yeah.
And that I'm kind of glad they revealed that, and I thought the show did do good at least explaining itself in times like that. And I thought that was a good reveal, because she was definitely – the way it was written, I think, was actually tough for the actress. I liked the character better in the first season. Wasn't crazy about her. But in this season, I found everything about her to start to really be repulsive. But it almost makes sense where we end up with it, because you're like, oh, there's a reason that I think they want us to be repulsed by her at the end. I mean, it sounds like you had maybe some issue with the actual acting performance too, but
yeah.
It's interesting. It's sort of like that, you know, they always say in like pro wrestling, like you should enjoy hating the bad guy. Like you want to have good heat, but it's almost like she has bad heat where it's like you actually just don't want to see her on the screen. And I sort of got that way too, where I was like, oh man, she's like repulsive. Like, in some ways I could see how that might be taken in a bad way, but you know.
I just think for me, her performance was like, and not for this whole hour to focus on her, but her performance was very one level. Like it got to somewhere and it just stayed there. You know what I mean? And
no, you had like a really big,
you had a really good opportunity to make somebody I mean, imagine growing up with somebody who has who has powers like that. You know what I mean? Who's super strong and stuff like that. Like you had a really good, and maybe some people did. I don't know, but for me, I at no point sympathized with her plight. I was just like, wow.
How can you? Because she's been coddled her whole life. Her mom's been, you know, even though the relationship with the mom's weird, you know, she's, you know, but then especially the flashback scene of the music.
You
know what I mean? Where you see like, okay, so she's this huge pop star. She's been coddled. She gets everything. She gets everything she wants, whether she wants it or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a repulsive type person, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean?
It's funny because in season one, I did sympathize with her. Like, we all sympathize, or many of us can sympathize with sort of like the overbearing parent or the parent that, you know, wants too much out of you and that sort of thing. And I really liked that character and I felt for her. And I also kind of like, I remember in season one, I was very much sort of like rooting for her to sort of get powers, you know, but at the same time I thought, oh, it's kind of cool. They're not going to give them to her, because even in season one, she had that sort of thing where it's like, I want to be kick ass and stuff like that. You know, and in this, I just felt they missed a really big opportunity to sort of make her sympathetic in some way. And I just didn't feel it. I felt like she was very one level. And I felt the same thing of Malcolm's character. I felt he got to a place and he kind of stayed there, up until towards the end, where he finally, the final episode where he finally decides to do something, you know what I mean? And kind of like forge his own way. But once, you know, episode six, like sort of like happened and the end happened and you know, Jessica Jones, because this is very much a, this whole season is very much about, like, sort of, quote unquote, the origin of Jessica Jones. You know what right. I mean? It's basically yeah. like how she got her powers, what happened, like what happened to her parents and all that stuff. And once the discovery and the turn happened with the mother, and the mother got involved, who I felt like was a really great actress. I guess her name is Janet McTeer. You know, kind of crazy eyed. Like anytime she started going like angry or like wild, I was like, wow, they totally got the right actress for this because she's
yeah, they
horrifying.
Did.
Yeah. Like I was like, I do not want to mess with her. But like once it sort of gelled its focus onto Jessica Jones, like I was like all in. Like I was like, oh, okay. And the dynamic between the mother and the sort of like doctor and scientist, like I found all that stuff like great. And once, you know, even sort of like the Lou Gehrig stuff with Carrie Ann Moss, like mm-hmm. I found that distracting too. I was like, I don't care about this, you know, like this is great, but it should all be secondary, you know what I mean? But once like episode 6 kicked in, I was all in and I really did end up loving it. Like I ended up really liking it. Like I was like, okay, I'll watch next season. I got no problems with, you know, tuning into Jessica Jones again, as unlike sort of like Iron Fist, where I would be like, what? I really need to see some awesome trailers like for Iron Fist for me to, I mean, who am I kidding? I'm going to watch it anyway, but for me not to be like in a place of like hate watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting you talk about the Malcolm character and the Trish characters not really going anywhere or being appealing, but they were the ones that were most addicted substance-wise. Like, Malcolm's coming out of heavy yeah. addiction. So, and I think that's why he became – and they mentioned that he's – Jessica mentions he's replacing his addiction with something else, and he kept saying to her, hey, I need to just be busy. He kept yeah. reaching out, almost trying to put his addiction on Jessica in a way
yeah.
to keep
yeah.
him busy. And yeah. I think that's why that repetition was there. And then, of course, he's seeing a bunch of different girls and getting into like sex addiction.
Yeah.
And then Trish, of course, is addicted to this sort of adrenaline type, you know, synthetic chemical
yeah.
That her old boyfriend is doing. And running around with. And it's interesting, though, that those two characters were the ones that kind of stuck out to you as like, hey, I'm not really interested in them. And I really agree with that. But I think this is what makes the series or this season so interesting, is that even when you get to Carrie Ann Moss's level, it's like she was sort of addicted to something, too. Like she was definitely, you know, she's addicted to her own power and yeah. what she could wield. But then she became addicted to finding a cure for herself. And she couldn't – it's almost like that character, with all the power she had, couldn't come to grips with that. She was getting completely conned
yeah.
By these
well,
other two people.
That part I really liked. I mean, I found that sort of like twist for that character to sort of be like the very sort of like, you know, for lack of a better term, like bitch on wheels, you know, like mm-hmm. hard edge. I don't care about anyone. And then to be placed in a point of vulnerability and then to be conned, like you said,
right,
like that
right.
I found like, oh, that was really, that was a nice move. You know what I mean? But also sort of predictable too, because you knew that that they were conning her. I mean, that wasn't a surprise to me, particularly when he goes to heal her, you know, like, no, he's conning the hell out of, you know, she's getting conned. How the con was going to play out, I didn't know, but you know, but that's the thing is, again, Carrie Ann Moss, like, the performance for a while there was a little one note where she's like, I just hate everyone. I'm going to treat everyone like crap. And then, once this sort of turns, it gives her the ability to kind of show her vulnerable side. Not that, you know, all women have to show that, but I'm just saying it makes her more yeah. sympathetic when she gets screwed over. You know,
right.
The one guy that we haven't talked about was the sort of, the detective, the other detective that was trying to move in on Jessica Jones's business.
Right.
I mean, what did you feel about that subplot or storyline?
That was interesting because and that's, I guess, a point I wanted to make off of what you just said there, is that there's this just constant uneasiness and like no one's ever on solid footing during the show. And because of that, you're constantly guessing, well, where the heck is it all going? And that's what made it so unique and weird. But especially, I think you're talking about Price Chang is the character.
Yeah.
Played by Terry Chen, and when he first showed up, I was like, "Oh, this guy's kind of a badass."
Yeah,
And then you see he's a complete wimp. He's very kind of sleazy. Was his deal, Christian, that he just didn't like the fact that Jessica Jones was out there operating as a solo business woman.
Originally, that's how it sort of played. Like, he didn't want her, like, or that's how it seemed to play out. Like, he didn't want her moving in on his turf, so he was going to buy her out. And she's like, no, I'm not having it. And so he was going to, like, try and convince her. And again, that sort of storyline, that was something that, you know, my wife sort of said, like, the first three or four hours. She's like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this is going nowhere. And then once she sort of, like, beats the crap out of him, he gets more obsessed with, like, trying to sue her, you know,
right,
and, like, take her down because he thinks, like, she's crazy. You know, that old comic book thing, like, you're out of control, superhero. You can't be left alone to patrol the streets. You're a weapon that needs to be, like, reined in. And then it sort of kind of gels once his associate or, like, the person who works for him gets killed by Jessica Jones' mom. That's sort of like when they were getting sniped by him, because at one point the detective decides to take a sniper rifle to Jessica Jones and her mom. And we were kind of like, it was really weird because we were kind of like, Amy and I were looking at each other and we were going like, why? Like, this has gone to an extreme. And then later on in the episode, or in the next episode, he says, oh, what, you killed my, you know, my friend that worked for me. And I was like, oh, I remember that now. But before that, like, I just don't, we just, like, the whole obsession, angry detective thing sort of didn't make sense and kind of got dragged on for too long.
Yeah, we should clarify. So he's another private eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like a big top dog private eye. He like has like rich clients. Yeah.
Very wealthy clients, like musicians and
hipsters,
entertainment people and such. But I think they needed a red herring in the story of someone we thought, you know, would be a major thorn in her side.
Yeah.
But it turned out it wasn't. I mean, because I think the length of the storytelling, they needed something to sort of set a bar so that, like you said, later the mom could come in and kind of fold herself into that story and plow through and destroy. Because, like, the mother, once she's there, she becomes this just Godzilla creature, or like almost like Incredible Hulk, where it's
totally the Hulk.
Anything around her is just going to get obliterated. And that was even interesting though too, because at some point I felt like, well, why can't Jessica just hang out with her mom? But they really, I think, did a good job of illustrating, especially in the later episodes, that she wasn't mentally stable. And I think they addressed that really well. And I think they addressed even the street people. Like, there was a really big authenticity to the characterization of the street people, of someone who's mentally ill. Like, even though it was like a superhero mom, it was almost like it was her really dealing with a mentally ill person.
Yeah.
And having known a lot of people like that in my past, I found it unsettling, almost like, again, approaching that kind of Punisher vibe where it's like, whoa, we're getting into some, you know, heavy, heavy territory. But, you know, the private Ivy, he was such a wimp and a twerp. I felt like, just get rid of this, kill this mother effer. And I agree with the mom, you know, in a lot of this stuff, where she's like, let's kill this guy, you know, let's get rid of him.
Well, that's the thing, is you go from bad to worse. Like, it's really funny because very much of, like, the Jessica Jones thing is she's kind of like a loner and a rebel and stuff like that, but she still has her own, like, code of conduct, right? Like, she's not going to kill people. And that's sort of part of what she starts the show with, is that she killed David Tennant's character, and people know that she killed David Tennant's character, and she sort of got this label as You know, some people call her a killer. You know, other people see that what she did was justified. But as the show sort of moves on, you know, she's unfortunately placed in a lot of situations where either her mother wants to kill someone and she has to hold her back, or, you know, she actually does end up killing someone sort of in self-defense. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it's really funny because, like, that sort of big event happens and she's like, severely traumatized by it, you know. And she really gets out of it in a really awful, you know, non-scrupulous way. But after that, it's just sort of like let go. You know what I mean? I mean, she sort of has that, you know, conscience, where David Tennant shows up for an episode and he's like following her around and mocking her and calling her a killer and stuff like that. But after she sort of kind of moves through that and moves to sort of help her mom, like, I mean, they'll probably address it in season three, I'm sure, but it's kind of like swept under the rug. So it's like, so let's just keep the story moving. You know what I mean? You don't see much more of that towards those last final episodes of like the sort of guilt and trauma that she's had to deal with because she killed somebody who was abusing her mom in self-defense, although she shouldn't have been in that apartment anyway, breaking into the guy's apartment anyway.
I guess not, but again, it was like, well, you know, that guy sort of needed to die. I mean, it's like,
well,
it's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but there is something called the justice system, right? Like, you kind of try and bring him in. I mean, he was assaulting her, but again, he even said, like, I'm not sticking up for the guy. I mean, the guy basically killed prisoners, you know, he was a scumbag, but you know, the thing is like, she did break into his house, and when he was hitting her, you know, he was very much like, this is my house, self-defense, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. The only problem is, buddy, is that, you know, you're dealing with somebody with super strength, and if she strikes back, you know, uncontrolled, you're pretty much screwed. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
well, yeah, she could have brought him in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she could have brought him in. But again, her search would have been illegal. None of the evidence would have been admissible. You know, whatever. But we're living in the superhero universe. I don't know how the law works there. But either way, I mean, you know, I mean, it's very much, I mean, that was sort of a thread that would pop up every once in a while, that she kind of felt herself as being a killer, and she's sort of the yin to her mother's yang, you know? And then there's a lot of like interesting stuff in there too, because, you know, you bring up the sort of, the brain trauma or the brain damage that her mother went through. The question gets arisen, like, is Jessica also a victim of that? Does she suffer from, you know, some sort of brain damage as well?
Sure.
Due to the, like, is her temper, is her anger sort of a result of all that? Because, because, you know, they sort of touch on it a little bit, and I hope they might address that, like, in the third season, if there is one, you know, because I think that's a really interesting topic that they could explore. You know, how much of this is, how much of me is actually me? You know, because she even says at one point, and I really love that scene very much, where she was like, somebody said, like, do you know, I think it was Trish who says, like, do you know what it's like to feel pain? Or maybe her mother says it to her all the time, or like, not, you know, feel in control or whatever. And she's like, why do you think I'm drinking all the time?
Right.
Like, you know, and it's like, oh, it's not just sort of alcoholism. It's, you know, it's sort of to deal with the sort of maybe mental deficiency that might happen due to the procedure that gave her her powers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's trying to suppress, I think, all of it, the memories of it and what actually happened. And speaking of the, like, procedure, I don't know about you, but like, this guy who played the doctor, Callum Keith Rennie, I hope I'm saying his last name right,
great.
Dr. Carl Malice, I was siding with him. He seemed so gentle and like it made sense.
That's He's
like,
what's creepy,
He believed he was like helping people, and I love the way they wrote that character, and I really love the way he did it. The one thing that really what slapped me in the face was that one part when he's getting ready to operate on Trish. He's like, oh, don't worry, this is all new stuff. I've been working it out on paper. working it out on paper.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, this guy's a total quack. Well, like he's, you know?
Yeah. You know what's really funny about that scene, though, is that, you know, Trish is in the middle of a medical procedure and, you know, Jessica Jones breaking in and like pulling her off the machine.
I know.
That's not necessarily the smartest thing to do. And I was actually speaking to the television during that. I was like, no, don't pull her off. Let her finish. Like, I was like, you don't know what could be, you know, what you could be making it worse. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
You know, and the other thing, too, is that quite honestly, I mean, she did experiment on the mom. She did experiment on Jessica Jones. But I think even somebody says it at some point during the TV show was like, oh, I think Trish says it, where it's like, well, it worked for you. Why wouldn't it work for me? Like, that's sort of the thing that you never get is like, why? How many people did he experiment on? Was it just Jessica and her mom, or were there other failed experiments? Because I don't remember that. And then anyone talking about that. And for me, it's like, well, 2 out of 2, he did a really good job. You know what I mean? Like, he gave 2 people superpowers. I think he's okay. I mean, mom came on balance, but she still can lift a truck, practically stop a bus on her own, you know?
If you're just judging by the fact if he gave the power, if the powers were part of it, was successful, yes, at the expense of their complete mental
psyche. Like another Captain America here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, it's just at the it's at the expense of like your whole mental thing. I mean, Jessica Jones is like depressed too.
Severe
bouts of depression and like
anger.
Yeah, so it's like
impulse control problems.
Yeah, that was really weird though. But that's again, it's like none of the. It's almost like there's these bouts of people just not knowing what the hell they're doing as well in this season, and her running in and just being like, wow, yanked up these needles that are in like, and that was grotesque. I was just like, this is really bothering me. But that was a really dumb way to do it. And then they go back to the mom taking care of her in the hospital. The mom, I just wanted the mom to go away too.
Well, it's really funny because the mom,
the Trish's mom, rather.
Yeah, Trish's mom. I know you're Rebecca De Mornay. First of all, can we say like Rebecca De Mornay is great in that part? Like, I think she is fantastic in that part. And it's really funny because that was one of the characters that I really liked during the season, because not liked as a person. I mean, she's an awful individual as a human being. But every once in a while, she was really good at being like, I'm your mother. I'm the one that wants to take care of you. I'm the one looking out for you. We're going to get you an agent. We're going to get you a deal. Like, and you're sort of like, oh, yeah, well, she is kind of looking out for her. You know what I mean? She is. And you're like, oh, no. No, she's not. She's not really like, she's just out to, you know, whatever ego, fetish she's got attached to her daughter, you know, it's like really weird. So it's funny because like, Rebecca De Mornay, I think she's doing an amazing job on that, on the show and as playing the wholly unsympathetic character. But every once in a while, it's like you do sympathize with her because she's like, what the hell is going on? Like, what are you doing? Because there's times where she's not wrong, you know, like she has this relationship, Trish, and she's going to, you know, marry the CNN guy maybe. And he does this whole proposal and he loves her. And everything seemed perfect between them up until he proposes in front of everyone. And then she's like that to me was also kind of like the thing of the addiction to. And maybe that's kind of what screwed up the engagement too. Maybe was basically her becoming addicted to this substance that her ex-boyfriend gave her. But the whole sort of Rebecca De Mornay being like, you're screwing up your life, and her being like, well, I'm doing what I want to be doing. But then you're sort of looking at Rebecca De Mornay and you're like, yeah, but she's right. You know what I mean? Like that, those are like little bits of that sort of relationship that I enjoyed. What did you think of Jessica Jones's boyfriends during this? The new superintendent of the building and then the flashback scene. What did you think of those guys? Any thoughts on them?
That was interesting. I mean, the flashback scene.
I liked that episode. I thought it was one of the better ones of the season.
That was pretty interesting.
I like Jessica Jones as like a younger person. You know what I mean? Like yeah. a college kid. Like, I think thought it, that was really funny.
Yeah, it was good to see that. I think it was well needed. You know, you see like where oh, she got the
you
jacket.
You know what it was? It was what? Seeing her happy. Like with right. the boyfriend, like you don't really see Jessica Jones like happy and smiling right. and stuff like that. And there was something about it that I was like, oh, look, she's happy. Like she's having a good time with her boyfriend. Of course, you know, they were breaking into stores and, you know, getting into trouble. But, you know,
it's and that's yeah,
rare
and
that you see her smile and be like content, you know.
Well, that was actually one of my favorite episodes, especially because we got the scene in the alleyway where because where the mother does him in yeah. and she actually says, I'm her mother. And she smashes the dude's yeah. head. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Mommy dearest, no more wire hangers.
But,
yeah.
But it was interesting because they set him up and they said, oh, he's got a reputation as a bad guy. But we hadn't seen that
yeah.
until that scene where he's like, oh, you want to use her? Okay, give me a cut of yeah. the money because he was
or
so
the
dead.
Scene with Trish in the nightclub where all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, are you using right. me to – like that was a really – I mean, right. you knew it was coming, but like the way that that actor played it I thought was really good. Like he played it very subtly and he was just acting like I think a lot of other actors would have come on strong with that sort of pitch to sure. Trish. But I think that that actor did a really good job at sort of like making the turn and being casual about it. And then – when Jessica like runs off in a huff, like he was also very good at being like, hey man, like no big deal. Like I, you know, I thought that, I don't know. There was something about his performance that I just really,
no, it was great.
Was
they
yeah.
picked, yeah, they picked the right guy. He was pretty subtle about it. And, yeah. I thought that was cool. Then the other boyfriend, who was the other boyfriend, Chris?
The superintendent, the manager
yeah.
of the building.
That was interesting too. Again, that sort of ties into the plot, right, in a way that she needed. He became almost like he's an accomplice. I mean, he's forging her documents. He's
yeah.
he becomes almost like you know, like helpful for her business in a way.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're gonna do with that.
Yeah.
But I thought he was good. I really didn't have any issues with him at all. You know, it's very interesting when, you know, she saves his kid and that whole thing changes. And that was interesting. I mean, I don't really have an issue with it. You know, well, it didn't.
For me, it was, I mean, it was interesting kind of the way it played out. I actually liked the guy. I liked the character. But for me, it sort of became obvious that this was sort of a device introduced to the series to make sort of Jessica a little less, have a little less of a harder edge, you know, to make her sort of sympathetic towards somebody else. Like
right.
once they sort of get involved. And I can't remember if it was episode 5 or episode 6 where they actually kind of hook up and they're
oh,
actually
yeah.
like starting to do it in the paint. And I was like, dude, what am I watching? Like, what did this show become? Like, that was kind of like, I was like, what is this? Like a Harlequin romance novel? Like they're making out and then they roll
yeah.
around in the paint and you know
yeah.
what I mean? And Amy actually made a comment like, you know, the next day when they showed, or later when they showed them getting out of bed, she's like, man, it would be hard to get that paint off. Like, how did they get all the paint? Like, I just thought that bit
well,
was
yeah.
like,
I mean, he must paint with acrylics.
I thought that was a lot of acrylic paint on the
yeah.
floor.
But it's a lot.
I just thought that, like, to me, that was very cheesy. And I was like, that was not something that the show had ever, like, really engaged in. And it felt like to me, like, oh, this is for female viewers. You
that's
know, like,
right, Christian.
Like,
that's exactly
yeah.
right.
But I just felt the show had never sort of, like, you know, plunged into that silly morass of like Harlequin romance like it did like right there. And that's when I was like, oh no, has this show really gone off the rails? And I think it was episode 4 or 5 where that happened. And I was like, did they just make Jessica
Jones
cheesy?
Well, wait a minute, Christian, are you saying you weren't impressed by being targeted as a man who enjoys lesbian scenes with all the there were a ton of lesbian scenes
well,
with Jerry Hogarth did it. That was the creator saying, okay, look, we did this paint crap for the women. Now for the guys, we're giving them some lesbians. Again, that's an assumption that you enjoy that kind of thing. But there was like a lot of like dirty lesbian stuff, like with homeless people in this, you know, it was like, and man, I mean, Yeah, so they sort of veered off, you know, into that for a few minutes, and you know, in these things, so I was like, yeah, I kind of rolled my eyes at some of it too, you know. Oh, but
I was big time. I mean, my eyes were rolling out of my head. I was like, no, what did you do? Did you just cheese this show out? Because I mean, you know, she did have a relationship or, you know, sex with Luke Cage in the first season, and yeah, that's fine. But it wasn't like spilling paint and like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. Like, blah, 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 blah. I was just like, wow.
They now wait a minute, cheesy. Did Amy say how they get that paint off so easily, or did she say they should never have done that scene?
No, well, no, she said it would be really hard to get that paint out.
Like, uh-huh. But you could tell that as a woman, you know, she probably had no problem with that scene.
I don't know if she did or not. No, I think we were both kind of making fun of it at the time. We were just like, what is happening here? Like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
For Jessica Jones, you know, because it's kind of, you know, season one was definitely sort of like a very dark, you know, plunge into,
yeah,
like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? But this one, I think they definitely took it lighter. And a conversation that Amy and I did have while watching the show, and particularly during the first six episodes where I feel like they focused on a lot of the other characters, is the fact that like Kristen Ritter apparently has kind of been shooting all these shows like nonstop. So that may have been a reason why the focus might have been pulled off of her a little bit in the first half of the season, sort of to give her some breathing room, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, she's in her own show, she's in The Defenders, and she's in this, and from what I understand, that's like several years of like, not necessarily consistent shooting, I'm sure she gets a break, but just basically working on this at all times.
Yeah, I guess her turnaround would be quicker, right? Because she shot after Daredevil.
Yeah.
And then they had to go, yeah, they probably went right into Defenders and then season two.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Those are quicker turnarounds, although she's done quite a bit of other stuff in that. I mean, she's written a book. She's
that's right.
You know, she's got some knitting thing going on.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right.
I mean, look, you know, they shoot these things in a – I know it is hard work for actors because you are doing weird hours. You know, you're going to do right those night shoots, the morning shoots, this and that. But there is a lot of downtime. There's a lot of downtime. There is. Let's face it.
Sure, sure. Well.
But I guess there's potential for burnout if it's not scheduled right. I don't think she's
hurting. I think if you're the actor, you're the main actor, and you're like in almost every scene, I think that's hard. I mean, I don't think.
Yeah,
it's exhausting. I mean, there is a lot of hurry up and wait, sure. You know what I mean? But the scenes that she generally has to do tend to be emotionally taxing. She's not just showing up and being like, first of all, like Kristen Ritter is fantastic on this show. Like anytime they focus on her, like I think she's great. Like that's what makes me want to watch this show. So, and I, you know, I really find the character of Jessica Jones to be engaging. I find like all that stuff. So like, she's not treading water, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like when she shows up, she's there to act. Like she's there to play, you know what I mean? I mean, she's not like some other, you know, TV actors or movie actors that we've seen where, you know, it's not, you know, when she's on the set, it's going to be a taxing day emotionally and probably physically a lot, you know what I mean? So, so I can see how she could possibly get burnt out, but you know, I feel like that may have been the reason why the first six may have been a little lighter on focusing on Jessica, because even though she was in it a lot, but I feel like, you know, there were other characters, storylines or wants who were sort of maybe addressed more. And and that's kind of what made me tune out a little bit in the first half, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I think, but yeah, you're right. She did a great job. I thought all the acting was really good. Where there were flaws.
Trish. I thought Trish was not very good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was
I actually
just
really
crazy.
Liked that actress in season one, but season two, there was literally one scene where she was like driving a car with Jessica, and I think she was supposed to be like spazzing out or like, I'm not sure, but she like had such a lock on her arms, like holding the steering wheel. I'm like, she doesn't even look like she's driving. Like, what is she doing? Like, you know, I think that for me, it's like, this is maybe an actress who has not been called on to play like the hardcore addicts or like, you know, and maybe she may have been a little bit out of her depth. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely interesting. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with it, but I think they are going to just go, you know, sister versus sister, Hellcat versus Jessica Jones.
Oh, you think it's going to be a versus thing? You don't think that she's going to... I mean, that was kind of a hardcore ending where she's like, I'm kind of done with you. I mean, she cut a lot of people out. She cut Malcolm out. She was like, I'm kind of done with you. And then she cut Trish out, you know? And I mean, did she even leave her relationship with Jerry in good shape?
I think that was open-ended where it was just like, what's happening? I think the only people left that she was wanting to be with was the landlord and his son.
Yeah.
Or the superintendent and his son.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's kind of interesting because she does sort of have a wholesome, I don't know. It seems like it would be a good relationship to look forward to. I mean, the guy's got a kid, so she would have to sort of like lighten up a bit, don't you think?
Well, I'm hoping the third one, yeah, she can get a little lighter. It could, you know, maybe.
Oh, I like dark Jessica. I hope that the first episode opens like with the kid and the super being like assassinated in an awful, cruel way, gangland style killing. And so she goes like dark again and has to start drinking and cursing and throwing people through walls.
I mean, it is kind of weird that like Trish shows up, just shoots her mom in the head. Like, that's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even gotten to that yet. Like, I mean, that to me was like that final,
like, and that's where I was like, okay, it's like, wait a minute. This can't, I don't care, whatever. It's your half-sister you grew up with, whatever. But it's like, you can't go just be friends with that person.
No. Well, forget about, like, okay, that's a whole other issue. For me, it's like, wait, Trish is in the hospital at one point. And again, this is very much like what they did with the last final episode of the first season, which is like, we got to wrap it up. And it's like, Trish is in the hospital and she's being watched by her mom. She's being watched by the cops. How the hell does she get out of the hospital in Manhattan,
yeah,
in New York, and make it up to Rye Playland by herself without anybody noticing? And she just shows up. I thought that was cheap as hell.
It came out of nowhere, right?
It totally came out of nowhere. It was so cheap. At first, I thought it was going to be like a cop sniper. And it's just like, and to me, it was kind of like very much like what you said. It's kind of like a cheap device to put a wall between the two of them. Because like you said, somebody shoots your mom, even though you didn't have the greatest relationship with your mom. You can't just, like you said, you know, just be friends with that person and like, hey, let's forget it, you know?
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, they show her balance a cell phone on her foot. Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's her superpower. She can balance mobile devices on her foot.
Well, it's super agility. She's going to be like Hellcat, right?
Well, yeah.
I don't know if they'll give her the costume. Probably not, but I would love it.
Everyone would. I mean, I think she might have a leg up depending on how. Maybe she's a little weaker. Maybe she's a little weaker than Jessica, but
yeah,
they showed her to have more martial arts, like fighting experience. So
that's true,
with the superpowers will make her a very formidable foe.
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, and I've seen people speculating as to whether if they do another season of The Defenders, it'll be Hellcat instead of Jessica Jones in there. You know what I mean? Like they might substitute, you know, sort of like have substitute heroes in there.
That's interesting. I mean, I can't root for her though at all.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's like I don't want anything good to happen to that character.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing of it is too, like going back to the fact that she blew Jessica's mom's brains out. Like,
yeah.
To me, it's very much like, who does that? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I know that she thought like Jessica was in danger and she was like, nobody, you know, I think she says something to like somebody had to do it. Somebody had to, you know, break you apart from your mom because you were not going to do it. And even Jessica says, well, that wasn't your choice to make. And it's like, really? Because the cops would have shown up and I thought it was a sniper initially. And I was like, oh, wow, the cops got her. You know what I mean? And then you see that it's like, you know, Trish sitting there, you know, in the perfect spot to blow her mom's head out, you know, on the without either of them noticing that she's kind of crawled up behind them, you know. And it's just like, it's, and just the whole thing of like that whole time jump of like, they could have at least shown her sneaking out of the hospital to me, and that would have made it more plausible, you know what I mean? But to me, it's just like, Trish is in the hospital. Her mother's telling her to calm down. The cops are watching her. You know, her mom's watching her like a hawk. And somehow she manages to get to Rye Playland.
Well, I guess that's the thing, is that those were her recuperative powers were kicking in.
If you say so. Seems like she didn't even notice it until she dropped her cell phone.
No, she didn't. But now that we know she's got some of those powers, like... But yeah, that was a big jump, because I was like, okay, Jessica's with her mom. They've run away here. Then the mom said they're gonna be together. Now they're not gonna be together. And they're gonna but that's a real the mom had basically multiple personality disorder. In some ways too. Like I don't know if you've spent
time. She's probably like bipolar. She's hugely bipolar.
But that's
the Hulk.
Yeah, and for those of us that know what that's like, it will change. Your reality can change from second to second with that person, because they believe their reality is shifting from minute to minute. So all of a sudden you're in one kind of zone, and then all of a sudden the floor is kind of pulled out. And they started really playing with that at the end, where the mom's like, let's stay together. No, let's not. And then as that conversation's winding down, boom, she's done.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? I go, oh, I guess that's how we're ending this season. Like,
yeah. Well, it was very interesting, because they sort of had that sort of moment to make peace with each other on the Ferris wheel, which was kind of nice. And, you know, there was sort of that, they were, particularly the mom was starting to speculate, like, we could go overseas and we could help people. You know, we could go to like, I don't think she specifically said a country, but we could go to like Africa and, you know, help, you know, refugees and stuff like that. And it's like, that seems like a very, like, if you had superpowers, that would be a great plan. That would be, you know, something to do, you know, productive. And you're starting to think of like, you know, it's the old sort of like, oh, maybe we could have our happy ending, but you know that that's not going to happen. And for me, it was just like, how are they going to play this out in the last episode? And I just thought that that blowing the mom's head off out of nowhere and having Trish do it was very much sort of like a very cheap device and a bit rushed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they hadn't really pulled anything like that in the whole entire season. But in some ways, that's how the first one ended. She went up, twisted a motherfucker's neck, and he was dead.
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah,
I mean, they were so, sort of sticking to the same thing, where because in a way it's like, okay, in the first one it's like, this guy's just gonna keep torturing her. It's like, it's that whole Wile E. Coyote thing you were talking about, until it's like, hey, we're in episode 200 here. Snap the guy's neck. Let's move on. And it's kind of like,
move on. Yeah,
that's kind of like what they decided. But
I mean,
all in all, I think it's I don't know, man. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to, I think Luke Cage is next. That should be great.
Yeah, that's true. I think another season of Luke Cage is next. The thing with me is very much like, I'm just starting to wonder, because there have been a lot of people, you know, online that say like, these seasons are too long. You know what I mean? And it seems
That's a good point.
What I was feeling about this. Like, it's really weird. It's like padding in the beginning and then rush the end. You know what I mean? And I was just like, why did you have all this padding? You could have made, you know, maybe stretched out other things a little more, or played things out. And then, you know, instead of that last episode feeling like a big rush or a big, you know, cheat, you know, you could have eased into it more, or given us a more plausible reason for how Trish, you know, showed us something, you know, because for her to just like appear there, she's not Nightcrawler. She doesn't just teleport, you know, up to Rye Playland. You know, for me, that was sort of like the biggest thing. Like, I was just like, wait, one scene, she's being told to calm down by her mother, and her mother's like, you're not going anywhere. And then the next scene, she all of a sudden, she's blown Jessica's mom's head off. And I'm just like, yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Because once you get into the whole thing of persons in the hospital, how many times have we seen that scene where it's like, oh, I'm going, like, you know, stay in bed. It would have been better if it was just nighttime. Maybe she woke up And maybe they didn't want to give away the powers there, but maybe she just woke up and was able to get out under the cover of night. I think I would have – I mean, she would have had to get past a lot of people in the hospital, but I might have believed that more than her just being like – showing up and
She was in Manhattan in Rye Place. Like, how does she get up there? You know, I mean, there is that one scene where I think somebody says, like, do you know where she might have gone in upstate New York or something?
Right.
And she's like, no. Like, the actress is totally telegraphed. She's got wide eyes and like, no, I don't know. Like, not even like trying to hide. Like, anybody looking at her would be like, oh, you know something. But anyway, and then the next, you know, then they go on and then she ends up just showing up out of nowhere. And I was just like, I just felt very cheap and rushed and kind of like not worthy of the show to me. But, you know, I don't know. But, whatever. I mean, in the end, I really did end up enjoying the whole thing. And it was enough of a shock ending to be like, okay, that surprised me. Like, I didn't see that coming. But, you know, I do kind of like the way they've left things at the end of the season. I mean, with Jessica sort of being involved with the manager, the sexy manager, Latin manager, and his son, and sort of like developing sort of a relationship. And it'll be interesting to see where it all goes because, you know, as much as Rachel Taylor kind of bugged me this season, I do kind of want to see more of her character to see where it goes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we're gonna, whether we like it or not, in some capacity. And I do think they'll do a third season, for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. It'll be awesome. They need to keep her around because she's great. You know, whether they'll stay on Netflix or end up on that whatever new Disney streaming service,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. But I guess we're gonna have to sign up for another service if they do, because I really am. Even sort of the weakest one, Iron Fist, I still enjoy watching them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Iron, like I said, if you watch Iron Fist as a comedy, it's fantastic.
Well, for me, it's more like taking the bits out of like the pieces that I like. You know, there's definitely Iron Fist was definitely a hair pulling experience. And for me, the beginning of this season of Jessica Jones was a little bit of like a teeth grinding experience. Where I was like, no, did you just ruin one of my favorite shows? But in the end, it kind of came out of the nosedive that I was experiencing. So I'm happy with it. And plus, you know, whatever, Kristen Ritter, you know, you could probably have her read the phone book. I think she's just really talented actress. So I will be happy to check out Jessica Jones season 3 if there is one.
I hope so.
Cool. All right. Well, this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. My name is Christian Horn. I have been on the line with Ian Scheller, and we have been discussing the Marvel Netflix show Jessica Jones, season 2. Thank you for listening. Check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. You can email us at ptf@parttimefanboy.com. And we will be back soon with another episode. Actually, I am going to be at WonderCon this coming weekend. That is the weekend of March 23rd. I'll be trolling around for interviews. So if you are an artist, a writer, you have a comic book, whatever, and would like to do an interview for our show, hit me up. I would love to hear from you. In the meantime, thank you as always for listening. And we will see you soon with a new episode. Bye.
Part-time fanboy.